In this lecture, we are going to look at the relief available to traders for losses they may sustain. When a sole trader makes a loss, the trading income assessments will be nil. Trading income taxes profits. Consequently, if there is a loss, there is no profit. The trader may then choose how the loss should be relieved by making any appropriate loss relief claims. This session deals with losses of continuing trades. The rules allow us to set losses against other general income, under Section 64 of the Income Tax Act 2007, shortened here to ITA 2007. We are also allowed to carry forward losses under the provisions of Section 83 of ITA 2007. Let us firstly look at current year loss relief under Section 64. Under Section 64, losses may be set against net income, which is also sometimes referred to as general income. This is total income less any deductible payments, but is before we deduct the personal allowance. Consequently, if the loss is large enough, it could mean the taxpayer will waste his personal allowance. The loss can be set against the net income of either the current year and/or the preceding year. The current year is also called the year of loss. Loss relief is only available if the business is being run on a commercial basis with a view to realizing a profit. Therefore, if an individual has a business which is run more as a hobby and losses are made, no loss relief will be allowed. Assume a taxpayer draws up accounts for an accounting period and those accounts show a trading loss. The first thing we must do is to allocate the loss to a tax year. Assume we have a loss which has arisen in the year ended 31st of December 2010. Under the CYB rules, this loss will be allocated to tax year 2010-11. Consequently, the trading profits for 2010-11 will be nil. Once we have allocated losses to a tax year, we can decide what we wish to do with the loss. Firstly, we can use the loss against the net income of the current year, i.e. 2010-11. Alternatively, the loss may be set against the net income of the previous year, which is 2009-10. The two claims are independent, and consequently, we could make either or both claims, in whichever order we like. For instance, we could set the loss against the net income of the year of loss, i.e. 2010-11, or against 2009-10, or make both claims but in either order. Note that a Section 64 claim is not mandatory, and a taxpayer can decide not to make a claim at all if he so wishes. Unfortunately, however, no partial claims are permitted. A taxpayer must either utilize all of the available loss or relieve all of the available income. Where a claim has been made, and it is large enough, it could reduce general income to nil, which will mean wasting some personal allowances. Let us look at an illustration. Jeff is a self-employed carpenter, and he has the following results. For the year ended 30th of September 2009, he has a profit of £16,000. And for the year ended 30th of September 2010, he sustains a loss of £10,000. The profits of the year ended 30th of September 2009 will be taxed in tax year 2009-10 under the CYB rules. The loss of the year ended 30th of September 2010 arises in the tax year 2010-11. This is known as the current year or the year of loss. Jeff also receives rental income each year of £7,000. We must determine the claims that he ought to make to relieve his loss. The loss arose in the year ended 30th of September 2010. Consequently, the loss can be set against net income of the year of loss 2010-11 and or the preceding year 2009-10. To decide what Jeff should do, we first need to build up the income tax computations in each of the years affected. Looking at 2009-10, Jeff has trading income profits of £16,000 and property income of £7,000, giving net income of £23,000. In 2010-11, he has trading income profits of zero and property income of £7,000, giving net income of £7,000. It is from this net income that we can deduct any losses. Assume Jeff decides to set the loss against net income of 2010-11. The maximum claim is restricted to the level of the net income, i.e. £7,000. And once a Section 64 claim has been made, he must use up £7,000 of the loss. As there is now £3,000 worth of loss left, he can make a Section 64 carry-back claim to set the loss against net income of 2009-10. This revises the net income for each year to £20,000 for 2009-10 and nil for 2010-11. From the net income, we then deduct personal allowances. However, as there is no net income left in 2010-11, the personal allowance will be wasted. For 2009-10, taxable income will be £13,525, and for 2010-11, it will remain as nil. As Jeff has wasted a personal allowance, that is not the best option for relieving the loss. Let's therefore consider another option. Looking at net income again, we have £23,000 for 2009-10 and £7,000 for 2010-11. Assume this time that Jeff makes a Section 64 carry-back claim and sets the full £10,000 of loss against the net income of 2009-10. A current year claim under Section 64 would then not be possible, as we have used all of the loss. This revises the net income for 2009-10 to £13,000. Deducting the personal allowances for each year gives taxable income of £6,525 for 2009-10. This second option is more effective, as Jeff does not waste any of his personal allowances. With all of these loss options, let us look now at how to effectively plan the use of a loss. When deciding how best to relieve a loss, the following factors must be considered. Firstly, we must look at the marginal rates of tax against which the loss will be set. We would want to set a loss against non-savings and savings income which is taxed at 50%, then at 40%, then at 20%. Where we are dealing with dividends, we may need to look at the 42.5% rate and the 32.5% rate as well. Generally, we will set a loss against income taxed at higher marginal rates. We secondly look at the loss of personal allowances. As we saw from the last example, this can waste a loss. If income is already covered by the personal allowance, it is not going to be subject to tax anyway. There is little point in setting a loss against it. Finally, we look at timing. We would like to relieve a loss earlier rather than later. Relieving a loss in an earlier year leaves more net income available for relieving a loss in the following year. As we can only set losses against net income of the current and preceding year, if we utilize losses in the current tax year, that current year income is reduced, meaning that if we make a loss the next year, there is less income available to set it against. Let us now take a look at an example. Judy is a self-employed dressmaker, and her recent results are as follows. For the year ended 30th of November 2009, she made a profit of £25,000. And for the year ended 30th of November 2010, she sustains a loss of £15,000. The year of loss is therefore 2010-11. She also has a part-time job. In 2009-10, her salary was £4,000. And in 2010-11, it will be £6,000. What loss relief options are best for Judy? On the screen, you will see the possible options. What I would like you to do is to tick the box of the claim or claims you would make. Once you have done this, select Check Answer to see how you've got on. When you select Continue, I will explain the solution. Let us look at the solution. First of all, we build up the net income for each year. For 2009-10, it is £29,000. And for 2010-11, it will be £6,000. Assume we make a Section 64 current year claim, which will utilise £6,000 of the loss against net income in 2010-11. The rest of the loss, being £9,000, will be relieved by a Section 64 carry-back claim, reducing 2009-10 net income by £9,000. This revises the net income for each year to £20,000 for 2009-10 and zero for 2010-11. We then deduct personal allowances. As we can see, for 2010-11, the personal allowance is wasted. That leaves us with taxable income of £13,525 for 2009-10 and nil for 2010-11. As we have wasted the personal allowance, there must be a more efficient way of using the loss. Assume instead we did not make the Section 64 current year claim in order to preserve the personal allowance. Instead, we could make a Section 64 carry-back claim and relieve all of the £15,000 loss against net income of 2009-10. That leaves us with revised net income for each year of £14,000 and £6,000 respectively. The personal allowances this time are not wasted, due to the loss relief claim leaving taxable income of £7,525 in 2009-10, which will be taxed at 20%. Let us now look at a second example, which is based on exactly the same facts as the last example, except that in 2010-11, we assume that Judy's salary will be £60,000. She decides to take on more employment in order to help her through the loss period. What are Judy's loss relief options now? Make your choice and select Check Answer when you are ready. Let us now take a look at this second solution. First, we build up the income tax computations to compute net income for each year. For 2009-10, this is £29,000. And for 2010-11, it is £60,000. Let us now look at the marginal rates of tax. With income of £29,000, the marginal rate of tax in 2009-10 is 20%. However, for 2010-11, the marginal rate of tax is 40%. Consequently, it will be more efficient to set any losses against net income in 2010-11. We would therefore make a Section 64 current year claim, relieving the full loss of £15,000. This revises the net income for 2009-10 to £45,000. We then deduct the personal allowances, leaving taxable income in 2009-10 of £22,525 and £38,525 for 2010-11. We will now look at the extension of the Section 64 claim to capital gains. Where a person claiming relief for a trade loss against general income is unable to make full use of that loss, he may make use of the balance as an allowable loss for the purposes of capital gains tax under Section 71. Let me explain further. Assume we have a loss arising in the tax year 2010-11. First of all, we can set this loss against the general income of 2010-11 and or 2009-10. What the legislation allows us to do is to then extend this to capital gains. We can therefore extend the 2010-11 Section 64 claim to cover capital gains in that year and do the same for 2009-10. Notice the way that the arrows go. We have to make the Section 64 claim before we can extend to gains. Consequently, that will mean the wastage of personal allowance, as the general income will have been reduced to zero before we can progress to the capital gains claim. The CGT relief will be the lower of A, the remaining loss, i.e. after the Section 64 claim, or B, the relevant maximum. The relevant maximum is the net gains in the tax year less capital losses brought forward. Let us look at an illustration. Delia sustains a trading loss in the year ended 31st of January 2011 of £20,000. She has other income of £8,000 in that year. Her capital gains position for 2010-11 is as follows. She has capital gains in the year of £25,000, capital losses of £2,000, and capital losses brought forward of £13,000. Her loss will be relieved as follows. Firstly, we will look at the Section 64 claim. She has trading income in that year of nil because she has a loss. She has other income of £8,000. That gives us her net income of £8,000. We then make a current year claim under Section 64, reducing the net income to zero. This will, of course, mean the wastage of her personal allowance. We then have a remaining loss of £12,000. Next, we consider how much of the loss can be utilised under Section 71 against capital gains. The relief against capital gains will be the lower of the loss remaining after the Section 64 claim, £12,000, and the relevant maximum. We next compute the relevant maximum. We have net gains in the year of £23,000, and capital losses brought forward of £13,000, leaving us with £10,000. We take the lower figure, and therefore the loss we offset against gains will be £10,000. So what is the effect of this claim? Under Section 71, we made a claim to convert a current year income loss into a current year capital loss. Capital losses brought forward will then reduce net gains to the level of the annual exemption. Taking the previous example, we had gains in the year of £25,000. From which we deduct the current year capital losses consisting of £2,000 actual capital losses and £10,000 of Section 71 loss that we have converted into a capital loss. That gives revised net gains for 2010-11 of £13,000. We then deduct capital losses brought forward, and finally we deduct the annual exemption of £10,100 to compute our taxable gains. Remember that we have £13,000 worth of capital losses brought forward. Consequently, we utilise £2,900 of these losses to reduce the remaining gains to the level of the annual exemption of £10,100. This leaves taxable gains of nil. The capital losses which will be carried forward to 2011-12 will be £10,100. i.e. the £13,000 that we started with, less the £2,900 which we have now utilised. That concludes the first part of this session on losses of continuous trades.